This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome in. From Nationals Park on this Friday, Grant and Danny out and about and on the road. We waddled down Half Street. Why are we broadcasting at Nationals Park, you ask? Well, pretty simple.
Why?
Patrick Corbin is a member of this rotation. He will be introduced to the media and to Nats fans today. So we're here for the press conference, which you will hear at about 12:30 today, as well as a conversation with Pat Corbin. We'll have the first word with him on radio in the nation's capital. In the 12 o'clock hour, we'll also catch up with Mark Lerner. So many questions to ask of him. First of all, kudos to the Lerners, opening up the checkbook and bringing in the best free agent on the market. Got to talk to him about Bryce Harper, though. Is there a chance that the offer that was made gets accepted? Is there a chance another offer is coming? Will he be back in Washington? Who else would you rather ask that question to than the gentleman who owns the ball club?
And that's kind of where this offseason has morphed to me, Grant, is that's where those decisions are being made now. And I know that sounds oversimplified, but bear with me. The baseball operations folks are just building a roster with the available talent, right? They've made trades. They've made free agent acquisitions. They've sent scouts to go watch Trevor Rosenthal pitch and signed him and made that happen, traded for Kyle Bearclaw, etc. They've made moves to improve the ball club. This big decision, this $300 million, $400 million decision, that's an ownership level decision. The baseball ops folks are just doing their jobs. So the guy really with the keys here is Mark Lerner.
It is a Friday, though, and we will be previewing the Washington Redskins, the New York Giants from FedEx Field, and we'll hop all around the NFL to get you set for Week 14. Play for week 14, by the way, Danny, started last night, and we knew this was going to be a bad game. It was going to be tough to watch, and it was.
Oh, Jacksonville.
21-point output. The Jaguars have effectively now given up on the season, and it looks like the competitive portion of their year is over. They are 4-9 a year after going to the AFC Championship game, but last night was still a blast, and what you got last night was a 30-9 final. The Tennessee Titans, as mediocre as that offense is much of the time because they struggle to throw the ball with Marcus Mariota, they were able to run all over Jacksonville. Derrick Henry with an iconic nationally televised effort that will be talked about for years. He had more yards and more touchdowns with fewer than 20 carries than any running back in the history of the league ever has. 17 rushes, 238 yards, 4 touchdowns, 99 of them coming on the longest run in league history, tied with a 99-yard carry with Tony Dorsett. The only other time we'd ever seen anyone do what Henry did last night as he was stiff-arming one Jaguar Amazing. After another to the ground.
That's the guy that everybody thought they were getting. That's the guy that they thought, hey, we can move on from DeMarco Murray, or we can, you know, build this backfield around him. The guy that I believe, Grant, if I'm still correct about this, the all-time leading rusher in high school history, the guy that stood out among a great crop of Alabama running backs, they thought this is what they were getting. To me, sometimes he looks like a Mack truck making a K-turn in an alley. Like, it's slow and it's awkward. That was unbelievable last night. He was amazing.
I don't want to take anything away from Adrian Peterson's 90-yard touchdown run.
Because it was cool.
We saw the longest run in Redskins history, almost as long as the crazy run last night, just a few days ago. 90 yards to the house, untouched. That's how these carries normally go, though. It's a breakdown up front. It's a hole big enough to drive a golf cart through.
Someone's a wrong gap, Reggie.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, the next thing you know, it's like,
open at the second level with nobody around you to kind of throw it into another gear, and next thing you know, you've run for 60 yards and it's a foot race. That was not the 99-yard run for Derrick Henry. Count these stiff arms here from last night.
Drive starts at the one and looking for a little breathing room, and they get that and plenty more. Derrick Henry still going. Stays in bounds. He might go. Touchdown! Unbelievable!
Joe Buck on Fox on the call. That was not the only lengthy touchdown run for Henry. A little bit later in the game, listen to this, he rips off a 54-yard score. And at that point,
it's not even impressive anymore.
Over 200 yards, and it wasn't even the end of the third quarter.
Here's Henry. What a night! Henry! He is gone for the touchdown! His fourth!
I watch a game like that, Danny, and you know what my thought is? Honestly, it's how is this guy on a weekly basis not a bigger performer?
A lot of 14 carries for 36-yard games for him.
How does it happen?
A lot of that. And they're better most of the time when Deion Lewis is in the game and they run modern NFL dynamic stuff where they get the ball to him in early downs, get it to him in space, etc. I don't know, man. The flip side of this is Jacksonville. Here's what should happen. When they had the ball inside, whatever yard it was probably the four or the five, got seven plays and ran six, 22-car pileups, and they couldn't believe they didn't score and they had to turn it over on downs. Everybody responsible for that should be fired immediately. And they should just go in the rest of their games and let a fan coach. There's no point to doing whatever they're doing.
The sequence Danny's talking about, if you didn't
watch the game. Oh, so bad.
So they get inside the red zone and they proceed to, on consecutive third and fourth and inches plays, call quarterback sneaks directly up the middle. I love those a lot more than I like handoffs to a tailback behind center, but twice in a row they have a big pushing match with 22 people stacked up. Then they get down to the goal line, and on three of four plays, they run directly downhill at the Titans, who are penetrating and blowing through the offensive front.
Yeah.
And they just keep going back to the well. It's as if they don't know not only that it's more effective to run out of spread, but that you're allowed to. And they've done this all year long. Just think about this. This is what I don't get that coaches can't fathom. By the way, we're broadcasting from a coach's office today. We are in the coach's office at Nationals Park in the clubhouse.
I've been a lot of places. I've never been here. I did not know this existed. I went to the press conference room, and it was in the press conference room where Matt Williams asked if I was bothering, or were we bothering you? That was that room. I was in there for about 10 minutes and thought everyone else was wrong.
I just think it's going to be unique and fun to talk about coaching while we're in a coach's office.
Yep.
It's kind of a odd thing that we're doing today.
This is me putting my foot into what you're stepping in. I'm smelling it.
There's an irony to it all.
Irony.
But NFL coaches largely refuse to acknowledge what is, I think, just common sense. If you're trying to move forward, don't you want less people in the area where you're trying to run?
It's the most basic thing on this planet.
Now, they'll tell you, no, hat on a hat. If I get more blockers, I got more people pushing people out of the way.
Physical football.
There's more clutter. There's more obstacles. There's more things to have to worry about. You should use as many receivers as far away from the quarterback as possible. If you could stack nine guys up on the sideline, I would do that so that I could run straight ahead because there's more space. I need a foot. The Jaguars refuse to acknowledge that. They don't know that you can run out of shotgun. By the way, the selection of Leonard Fournette was a disaster. To take him in the top 10, and I know he was the greatest running back in college football, and he's going to reinvent the NFL. He is not what works in the league.
Uh-huh.
Big, physical, heavy, 240-pound battering rams get hurt all the time because they get hit really hard by lots of people.
He's got good straightaway speed. He impressed people at the combine, and everybody went, oh, my God. I don't care about that. I care about shifty guys that can make cuts. Can you make people miss? That's not what he does well. He is, as you said, a battering ram. And at the time, I said this was wrong, and now they're in dire straits because they've got a really highly paid top five running back and a terrible quarterback situation, not unlike the Redskins.
The Jags defense last night, that's what it looks like when a team doesn't really care.
Yeah, they've punted.
I don't think you can run for 238 when a team's trying. Is that too hot of a take? I mean,
no.
Is that a, WFAN, Mike Francesa showing up on a Twitter feed take?
I don't think so. There's no way you can let a guy, because here's the thing. Because of how Henry runs, because he's so big and physical, I don't really feel like putting myself on the line to knock that
guy
down.
I agree.
That's a big freight train. That's not an easy guy to tackle. I can't do it.
Well, like the 99-yarder, let's say.
Uh-huh.
So I think it was around the 20-yard line, 15-yard line, is when A.J. Boye, the cornerback, who he completely mauled and pushed to the ground, had him wrapped up. And he just got tossed away like he was my 6-year-old nephew in his first flag football game. It was embarrassing. That, to me, happens. It's you're at a weird angle. You're trying to tackle one of the largest, fastest men in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But after that, if you watch Boye the rest of the play, he doesn't get right back up and start sprinting toward Derrick Henry. He had to come to a stop almost at one point to cut back later in that run.
Uh-huh.
and still get away from two other guys. Bouye was just kind of trotting as if to say, oh, someone else will get him.
Yeah, there was a lot of quit.
There was so many times last night where you saw players on that Jacksonville defense not being heat-seeking missiles looking for contact to get to the ball carrier, but thinking someone else will get him to the ground. That's how losing defense is played, and it reminded me of the Redskins over the last few weeks.
Uh-huh.
I think they're trying a lot harder. I think they're way more invested. I think that they care. I'm not saying that they don't. But you get a lot of missed tackles and a lot of guys not getting back into plays because, oh, it's okay, ha-ha, we'll get him. Oh, there's DJ Swearinger's there. It's fine. Good defenses swarm. Good defenses, 3 and 4 guys at a time, are putting people on the ground.
It's a feeding frenzy. And you saw it. You could see the difference even in the Redskins games. If you have NFL Game Pass or you have the ability to do so, go back and watch what they did the first time against Dallas. Or go back and watch what they did against Carolina and Christian McCaffrey, right? They didn't care if Cam Newton kept it and ran a little bit. When Christian McCaffrey, there was an inclination he might have the football, it was a horde. It was a swarm. It was World War Z type stuff, dude. They were flying around getting after the football. And that's how you get your turnovers. First guy holds him up, the next guy knocks it out. That's where your fumbles come from. Doesn't come from, you know, the popping the guy free when you're one-on-one. That's what they've been trying to do for the last 5 weeks, and it's looked terrible. That is gone. For whatever reason, that swarm is gone.
Redskins-wise, let's start here next. How much of a chance do you give them against the Giants? I mean, so much has changed in a few weeks. You're down to quarterback number 3 in Mark Sanchez. They're going to be 3.5-point underdogs to a team that has been the laughingstock of the division all year at home in a December game. The wheels are off, we know that, but we'll open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. How much chance do you give the Redskins? Do you expect them to win? If somebody does, we'd love to hear from you. And how could they and how would they beat the Giants? Sanchez, 2 weeks in to his tenure with yet another guard signed out of anonymity off the street to start for this team against actual defensive linemen who have been playing all year. It's got a little feel like the replacements, and I'm waiting for Keanu Reeves to walk through the door. Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. We're at Nats Park. Patrick Corbin's on the show in the 12 o'clock hour. Mark Lerner joins us today as well, and we're going to spend plenty of time getting you ready for the Redskins in Week 14 on The Fan. Grant and Danny from Nationals Park. Patrick Corbin, Mark Lerner going to join us today. 106.7 The Fan. Joel Corey's on the show at 11. He is a former agent and a contracts expert, CBA expert, when it comes to the NFL. Why is he on? Well, we're going to ask him about the Alex Smith contract. Can the Redskins get out of any of the money they owe Alex Smith in the event that Smith cannot play again? Kind of a grave thing to be discussing. It's an unfortunate thing to talk about, but it's part of the business, and Corey knows more about contracts than anybody. Might they have invested in an insurance clause, and if so, how much could that get them in cap space relief? We'll talk to him coming up in about 40 minutes. I think that'll be important for Redskins fans to hear. Craig Hoffman previews the Skins and the Giants at 11:30 on a Football Friday and a Redskins Friday. By the way, we're giving away tickets to the Skins and the Giants 3 different times today. 10:55, 11:55, and 1:55. A pair of tickets will be given out for the first time in 35 minutes. I'm going to give you a couple of clues between now and then.
Ooh.
You'll be able to answer a Who Am I Redskins question based on those clues. At 10:55, if you can do that, you can win those tickets. First hint I'll give you, I'm an offensive player.
Offensive player.
I play on offense. So jot that down. There's a couple more coming at 10:55. Only one Redskin will be a possibility as an answer. And you can try to win a couple of tickets if you can be the first caller in to name that player. Danny, Sunday at 1. Skins Giants, this was chalked up as a win for the last 7-8 weeks. You look at the schedule. You're trying to find 9 victories to get into the playoffs. You're trying to see how the Redskins will hang on and win the division. That ship has sailed. Dallas now looks like your eventual division champion, and if it's not the Cowboys, it'll probably be the Eagles, who just beat Washington and who play Dallas this weekend. But now we're just trying to find another victory here, and it looks to me like, I don't know if you agree, if you tell me the Redskins are going to win one more game the rest of the year, I think it would be this weekend, because the Giants are probably worse than the Titans. I think they're worse than the Jaguars, although it might be close after last night. They're definitely worse than the Eagles, and you're at home. But can they beat New York? What kind of chance do you give them? That's the question.
The puncher's chance, but the Giants are 3-1 in their last four games, and their only loss was at Philadelphia, a game they probably should have won, to be honest with you. They were the better team. They got off to a big lead and lost it. To me, if there's going to be one, it might be Jacksonville, because they've got that kind of turmoil that the Redskins have. They've got the kind of fires. An offensive coordinator's already been fired. Everybody hates everybody. There's a lot of quit in that Jacksonville team, sort of watching last night.
But don't you think their defense is – I know last night was really bad for them, but they have those games like they had as recently as a week ago.
Or they could shove it on you, of course.
Where they shut out the Colts. The Redskins' offense, to me, needs to play susceptible defense, and I view New York, who will be playing without their best defender, Landon Collins, this coming weekend. That's the type of offense, defense, the Redskins could probably accidentally make two or three big plays against. You might stumble into a 55-yard touchdown run or 60-yard catch. I don't see that happening against the Jags, but I get your point. They're in more peril right now than the Giants, surprisingly.
Yeah, I think when two teams are really, really bad or in bad shape, then, you know, there's a chance that one of those bad teams ends up winning. The Giants have played better football lately. Now, I don't know where this was at the start of the season. I don't know where this was when they were 1-7, but they've been more competitive. Losing Landon Collins, you're right, is certainly a blow. But, you know, they could do it, Grant. It would have to be the kind of game where the Giants offense with Saquon Barkley, an Odell Beckham, and then kind of the ancillary figures, whether it's, you know, Shepard or some of the other guys, don't do anything and just can't get right. And New York media is going, the offensive line's an embarrassment. How can we go with Eli over the course of the year? You know, the buffoonish type stuff. The only way is that the Giants are truly inept. And I don't know that they are playing that way right now.
They're not.
So I just don't think you can win a game that looks like a normal NFL game where teams are in the 20s. It's a 24-21 game, and, you know, you got a chance at the end. I don't think the Redskins can do that right now, and I don't think it's fair to expect them to do it given the circumstances.
To beat the Giants, they have to have a gem defensively. To beat the Giants, they have to hold New York in the teens in points, and they have to turn them over, I would say, at least three times. That means Manning probably twice. I think you could absolutely do that. He has had some stinkers at FedEx Field, where someone gets within a yard or two of him, and he just decides to go to the ground because he felt someone's breath. I mean, he just hates contact so much. And sometimes, we've seen it in the past at FedEx, he throws the ball up for grabs, falling to the ground, like that fadeaway Michael Jordan jump shot.
I call it the spin throw.
Yes,
where
he loves that.
It's not where you step in and drive the football. It's where you kind of spin like a top, and you finish pointed at the back end zone, and you have to watch the replay on the board.
That's the only way it happens, though. Three turnovers, takeaways galore, maybe even a defensive touchdown, and you win a 20-17 kind of game. Very unlikely, but I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility. Because, again, the Giants will give you a shot. But here is where I say I can't see it. And this is where we can get calls on this next, 800-636-1067. If someone wants to call in and tell me the Skins are going to win, God bless you. I love it. I love the confidence. I need to know how they're going to stop Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is a animal. The dude is a man possessed. He's outstanding. I think right now, this second, you can make the case he's the best running back in the National Football League. I really believe that. That's not just as a ball carrier, where he is phenomenal. 130 against the Eagles going back several weeks ago. 142 against the Bucks. They beat Tampa Bay. 101 on just 13 carries against the Eagles most recently, and then a $125 in their upset win over the Bears. That's not even dealing with, you know, when he's going out and catching 7, 9, and 8 passes.
Yeah, the 74 catches for over 600 yards. He doesn't have the best numbers, but he's got the worst situation putting up excellent top five numbers, if that makes any sense. Like, I wonder what he would do in Sean McVay's offense if he and Todd Gurley switch places.
Oh, he's the MVP of the league.
I saw what Todd Gurley did for Jeff Fisher's offenses, where they're running high school Harry stuff, and everyone's looking at him as a draft bust. Now he's the number one fantasy pick, and he's going to win the MVP again, potentially, with the incredible numbers. I know they'll give it to
quarterbacks.
When
you say he doesn't have great numbers, what do you mean? Because he's averaging 5 yards a carry, which in the NFL is outrageous, and he's got 950 yards already. He's one of the leaders in the NFL.
I didn't mean to say not great numbers. I mean, his numbers aren't as good as Gurley's or as good as
Zeke Elliott.
Zeke Elliott, potentially, but he's right up there.
In terms of rushing
yards. In the worst situation.
But if you add his receiving, I mean, he is basically what Le'Veon Bell claims to be and wants to be paid.
Yeah.
Like he plays two positions for.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be one of the leaders in the NFL in catches as a running back. And he's going to rush for 1,200 yards. And by the way, this is why I don't do the absolute thing. This is why I don't play the game that everyone likes to play with all these draft rules, these hard and fast draft rules. Every situation is different. You know, people will tell you, you can't possibly draft Saquon Barkley in the top five. You've got to draft a quarterback. And they've been killing the Giants ever since. I think, by and large, that's true. That's correct. That's good logic. Don't take a running back in the top five over a quarterback. But do we want to invest a little bit of time to figure out who the running back is and who the quarterback is? Do we care at all if the running back ends up being a Hall of Famer, which is my opinion on what Saquon Barkley is going to be and was before he came into the league? Do we care if the quarterbacks are any good, or should you just draft one to draft one? Baker Mayfield went first overall. He right now looks like the best of that group. Now, if you want to tell me Josh Rosen at this point gives you a lot of confidence that he's going to be outstanding, okay, that's fine. I would say that it's been a very mixed bag for him, and he's done nothing to light the world on fire. Sam Darnold's the guy everyone killed the Giants for not taking. Sam Darnold is not having a good rookie season.
No, he's been pedestrian.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Jets are good or that he's not able to get better. But my point is, the idea that it was just an absolute ridiculous, terrible, awful decision to draft Saquon Barkley in the top five, I think was way overstated at the time. People live by these rules. You can't draft a guard at number five. What if the guard's the best guard of all time 13 years later? What if that's the case? Rosen, by the way, more interceptions than touchdowns. You know, Darnold, same thing. I like Josh Allen's development. He's rushed for 100 yards the last 2 weeks, by the way. He's a playmaker with his feet in addition to being a pocket passer. But should we, I don't know, let him complete 60% of his passes before we crown him? It's not like this rookie class is lighting the world on fire. I can't wait to see Barkley in person this weekend. I think he's one of the best players in the league. And that's why I think the Redskins can't win. Because, Danny, I don't see how they're going to stop him. They can't stop pedestrian running backs right now.
They weren't stopping Tevin Coleman. They weren't stopping, you know, fill in the blank. You know, Peyton Barber ran effectively against them.
What are they going to do against
none of those
Barkley?
Guys are Saquon Barkley.
800-636-1067 is the number. What chance do you give the Skins to beat the Giants? And if they're going to, give us the way the game has to play out. Grant and Danny with you. It's a Football Friday and a Redskins Friday on a day where we're talking to Patrick Corbin in the 12 o'clock hour and Mark Lerner live on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome you back live at Nationals Park, 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home for Nats baseball. You will hear in 2 hours Patrick Corbin introduced to the media, $140 million man, new to the nation's capital, the best free agent starting pitcher on the market, now a Nat. Also, Mark Lerner going to be on the show. We'll talk to him about the offseason, the spending to this point, and what is to come, how much more money Mike Rizzo's got to work with when he joins the show, which we are excited about. But we are breaking down the Redskins and the Giants, and as I told you, 10:55, your first chance to win a pair of tickets to the game on Sunday. Good seats, free just by listening, thanks to the Washington Redskins here on The Fan. So make sure at the end of this segment you're tuned in for your second hint. I'm giving you 3 of them. Those 3 hints will add up to only being 1 Redskin in a little game of Who Am I? Right now, though, at 800-636-1067 on this Football Friday, what we want to know is, how can the Redskins beat the Giants? I gave you my answer. Danny, it's time for yours. I think they have to generate 3 takeaways, keep the Giants in the teens, and maybe even score a touchdown that is not with the offense on the field. I'm talking a special teams touchdown, hadn't happened all year, kick return, punt return, or another defensive touchdown, which we haven't seen since the division win against the Cowboys at home when they were scuffling on offense and Ryan Kerrigan's sack fumble of Dak Prescott was recovered on the goal line by Preston Smith. It's going to take something quirky like that, because I don't think, as crazy as this sounds, with this offense, you can just outscore the Giants who have won 3 out of 4.
The Giants have to play the worst game they've played in more than a month. The Redskins have to play the best game they've played in more than a month. And even that might not be enough. I'm with you. Something fluky has to happen. It's got to be one of those anecdotal NFC East games where guys get together in 20 years over a couple Miller Lights and they go, you remember how crazy that game was? Nobody was healthy, but they couldn't get a snap off and they fumbled three times and Eli Manning tripped over himself and threw one and they the ref blew a play dead, but then they reversed it and we won a challenge, but then they took the challenge. It's got to be something crazy. Something crazy has to happen. Everything you said is right. Whether it's a block punt for the first time in the last 50 years for the Washington Redskins, something nuts has to happen. If I'm Jay Gruden going into this game, I am playing this in a beyond riverboat gamble style. I'm basically like, I'm down to my last $100. I'm either going to be out in the wilderness and starve. I'm playing it reckless. Let's run some trickeration. The Jordan Reed to Chris Thompson play almost worked. I'm emptying the chamber.
Did we ever talk about that play, by the way?
We never got to it because of all the different things that were going on.
I loved that play call. It was so close to being a home run.
Yeah, I am emptying my bag of gimmickry. Everything. Let's do a John Harbaugh formation where the tight end lines up with the left tackle, but the left tackle's over on the right side, and this guy's eligible and run a triple reverse. I can't line up and beat anybody in this league right now with Mark Sanchez at quarterback and my sixth and seventh guards playing left and right guard. My right tackle, a shell of himself because of injury. No skill position guy is worth a damn at this point. To me, I've got to get lucky, and I'll play that way.
Sanchez, had he have been here all year, would not be nearly as big a problem as the offensive line. Because he's only been here a couple weeks, and according to Jay Gruden's calculations, he'll know probably 30, max 35% of the offense by the time the game kicks off. He knows a 30-year playbook. That's what he knows. Not what he's mastered, by the way, but just what he knows.
He knows what the words mean.
That's a problem. And for that reason, he's a bigger issue than your offensive line, where you just kind of ask interior linemen to push the guys in front of them on some plays. However, I'm just as worried and equally as concerned with the fact that you're going to be starting guard or guards in this game who was not on your team a week ago. It's a nightmare. This is a disaster. I don't care if you're Jay Gruden or you're Bill Belichick or you're Vince Lombardi reincarnated. You are not going to be able to coach a team up in 1 week to play a winning quality offensive 60 minutes of football. So to win, your defense, which is healthier, has to stand tall. Your special teams, which has been very good this year, has to have its best game. You get three phases. One is pillaged and decimated by injury. Don't count on that phase. The other two just have to be splendid. And if you dominate in the other two, you have a chance in this game. Let's go to Kyle in Fairfax on Grant and Danny on a Redskins and Football Friday. Kyle, what kind of chance do you give the Skins, as undermanned as they are?
Hey, guys. I'm going to give them a 10% chance. You're asking for too many things to go right to win. But the only way they can do it, in my opinion, is if Eli Manning, I agree, Grant, has to have a horrible game because you can't stop Saquon Barkley. The kind of runs he's going to have are one of those games where he has 20 yards, but then the other three or four runs after that are for 2 yards or for 3 yards. So you can't let him consistently get 5 or 6 yards and create second and shorts for Eli Manning. You need to let him play bad football to win. You also need to make sure that Chris Thompson is your best friend on Sunday, because Mark Sanchez cannot just drop back 35 times a game. And we've seen Adrian Peterson fall off because teams know he's the only thing they have going. Chris Thompson needs to really be involved. And I'm not talking 10 touches a game. He needs to play more on first and second down and help the quarterback out. And hopefully he can break a few big plays.
Thanks, Kyle. You know what I can't figure out, Grant? Why the Redskins can't run screens effectively anymore. I don't know when it happened to them, but it did. This is not a Kirk Cousins referendum, but bear with me. Some of their best plays were those Jamison Crowder, Chris Thompson, those quick little slip screens, right? You call them smokes, bubbles, whatever your terminology is, or a true screen. They had a screen to Capri Bibbs for a touchdown a few weeks ago. But it seems like they get sniffed out, diagnosed, and shoved all the time for them. And guys are either, burning a worm, or it's a tackle immediately, or it's incomplete or something. And they get screened to death on the other side of the formation. I think Kyle's absolutely right. The only way to me that you're slowing down a pass rush here that will be frenzied because of this beat up offensive line is to let them go. Is to make them stay honest, is to make them hesitate for just a little bit by running misdirection, by running screens, by running some jet action, different things to keep them at home just to give yourself a fighting chance. If you let these guys get off and go, you're done.
I'm worried about them not being able to stop screens. I don't care about running screens.
Oh, well, of course.
Think about this. The Eagles screened them until they keeled over and passed out. The Eagles screened them to death on Monday Night Football. It's not that the Eagles aren't bad at screens. They're fine. The Giants live and die by the screen.
Oh, they love them.
Saquon Barkley. I went back and watched one of their recent games. Just kind of casually drifting out into the flat with linemen in front of them. Four or five times a game is their bread and butter. It's what they've done. That part of this matchup should keep you up all night long if you're Greg Minuski. You couldn't stop a screen to save your life this week, and now Saquon Barkley's coming to town. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. Hint number two, little who am I? 1055, you got to know which Redskin these three hints add up to. And if you're the first caller in at 800-636-1067, you're going to win a pair of Redskins tickets. I have started every game this season.
Ooh.
I have started every game this season. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. Joel Corey joins the show in 13 minutes to talk about Alex Smith's contract situation and how much trouble the Redskins are in if Smith is not able to play again next season, let alone at all. Of course, our thoughts and our prayers are still with Smith and his family as they deal with the complications that we learned about yesterday from his broken fibula and tibia. He has had multiple procedures, as it's been reported many places now, including our own Eric Bickle of the Junkies, to clean up infections in that leg. And this is the worst case scenario to this point. Who knows how and what happens from here? What we hear in a month or 2 months could be very different. I know there have been a lot of scares in the past with different players that they may not play again. Or remember the tight end from the Bears a couple years ago, Zach Miller, I think it was?
Yes.
He was potentially at risk of losing his leg.
Absolutely. He went, oh, he hurt himself. Then it was, well, wait a minute, this is actually way more serious. I thought of that one, yep.
A lot of times, though, the medicine triumphs and medical professionals win and those things don't happen and players do respond and get back to being able to live normal lives. And that's kind of what we're all hoping for. In addition to the fact that ideally Alex Smith is the quarterback of the Washington Redskins at the start of next season, that's secondary. But there is a football conversation that needs to be had, and Joel Corey will help us do so at 11. We'll break down the Redskins and the Giants today at 11:30 with Craig Hoffman. Here's something we'll get into, and we want to be able to take your calls on later, so we won't delve into it in detail just yet. Danny actually brought this to my attention, though, this morning. I had not seen this, and I just looked it up, and I want to bring this quote out now, and we'll revisit this later with some audio deeper into the show. Jay Gruden yesterday, in his press conference, was asked by a reporter on if the post-practice huddle was longer than usual. So apparently the team, I guess, when the reporters are there and see the team breaking down at the end of practice, that way they you know, they walk off and the reporters are there ready to ask questions and they're not still in the, you know, room where they're held during practice so they don't watch things. So they get to, for the last couple of minutes of practice, get over there and they watch them break down and then they have their conversations and get their quotes. I guess somebody noticed that it took forever for practice to wind down. So Jay Gruden was asked about that. Here was his quote. Yeah, I mean, were you peeking out the window there? Everybody laughs. Yeah, I had a few things to say today. You know, it's week 13. We're 6-6, and I've just got to make sure we're all on the right page here, on the same page, and doing what we're supposed to do to get ready for a football game. I think our guys this time of year, you can imagine that when you have 63 guys out here practicing, there can be some griping and moaning going on. We had pads on today for the first part of practice. We had to check out our new linemen, and people weren't happy about that. Yesterday, practice, they weren't happy. They just played on Monday night. But there's a lot of things we have to get done from an offensive standpoint. We have to look at some guys in different positions, and I don't know. We've got a game to win, that's all. But the huddle, it was normal. Translation. Jay Gruden was saying, suck it up. It's football. It's December, and we're in a playoff push.
This blank ain't easy here, guys.
By the way, DJ Swearinger on our show last week came out and said, he doesn't think practices are either hard enough Fridays and Saturdays. Yesterday was a Thursday, obviously, different situation. He doesn't take the walkthroughs as being as beneficial as they should because he thinks his teammates laugh and joke and cut up too much. That's a player saying that. Jay Gruden came out and dismissed that largely at the press conference that he had the next day and said that he didn't want DJ Swearinger saying that on the radio. Greg Minuski, same thing, kind of downplayed that. Minuski had a quote last week, though, that was a joke, I thought. Not necessarily from his standpoint, but I thought big picture was just a problem, which was he said last week, did you hear this? Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but, yeah, you know, these walkthroughs can be 50 or 60 minutes, and you guys know it's hard to keep people's attention for that long. Did you hear that quote?
Of course I did, and I went, oh, my God.
Shouldn't be that hard.
Oh, my God.
Professional athletes. People being paid lots of money.
Imagine
this
any
is their job.
Job that you have had at any point in time. Anywhere. Paperboy. The high school summer camp counselor job that I got when I was 15 that I was underqualified for. You can't be bothered to focus up for an hour? You can't? That's too hard? I don't know if that's exactly what he meant. I mean, he was basically saying we try to make it lively, have fun, keep the guys' interest peaked. The way it came off, given all the losing, given all the comments from Swearinger and everything else, the context, I like Greg Minuski. He was really personable to us when we met him at training
cool
camp.
Dude, yeah.
Seems like a really nice guy. That rubbed me the wrong way. Now you've got this, to me, is act two.
Well, it was a terrible quote.
Yeah.
But this one, which isn't a bad quote, it's just a bad revelation if you're a Redskins fan. This is players are griping about how long practices is and how much work's being done. You have lost three of four games. You have lost three games in a row, four of five, actually. You are bad right now. And by the way, your head coach needs to get your beleaguered and battered and terrible offensive line prepared. He's got to see if these guards he doesn't know anything about who are just signed off the street are any good and can play. He's got to know what can Mark Sanchez run and what can't he. You don't get to have your normal practice when everyone's healthy on December 7th. You don't get to do that. He still is trying to find a way to win a game because he thinks maybe, just maybe, we can capture lightning in a bottle and get to the playoffs. But a week after DJ Swearinger says some guys are laughing, Jay Gruden apparently has to keep players on the field a little longer to address them after practice to say, hey, I know you guys are unhappy, but we got to suck it up right now. That is a terrible look.
I'm going to do a Grant Paulson bit. Close your eyes for me. Close your eyes. Grant's eyes are closed. We're here in the basement of Nats Park, and Grant's eyes are closed. You can picture these burgundy and gold or these white on white or these white and burgundy, some kind of combination there in uniforms of these guys doing this, right? Now, with those eyes closed, change the colors of that uniform and change the city. You're now in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Steelers are bitching and moaning and whining to Mike Tomlin about a week 13 practice, week 14 practice.
Right.
Because we played on Monday night. We have to get ready for a game on Sunday. That's very hard. It's very hard.
We played very well on Monday night. We played very hard, too.
Now, wipe that away. Let's go to New Orleans. New Orleans Saints players fresh off their butt-whooping at the hands of the Dallas Cowboys the previous week. We've already done so much, Coach. Why are you making us practice so hard here today? It's so hard. Sean Payton has to address the team. Imagine Bill Belichick in New England. Soft, wussified losers. Losers, losers, losers. I can't wait for this regime to be over. People need to go. This bothers me so, so much.
You're hot. You're coming in hot.
I don't mind. Jay Gruden's covering for his guys here. He's not running them under the bus all that bad, okay? The fact that he had to do this to professionals.
This is as close to running him under the bus, though, as a coach is going to get.
Absolutely.
And I don't blame Jay Gruden at all.
Nor
now, he didn't have to say this, but maybe this is occasionally how you call your guys out. Maybe you do go public every now and then and say, not good enough. By the way, you know why he does this? Because everyone crushes him for Club J. Because everyone talks about how it's his fault and it's his problem and he's created this mess, perhaps. But he's saying, you know what? We are actually practicing pretty hard and the players don't like it. And by the way, I did grab some face masks. Proverbially. I did actually address this today.
I would love to know who groused.
You know that it's not all about ping pong and DJs. We are practicing harder this week than you think, and the players are griping about it, and I'm telling them, suck it up.
Yeah, do you understand? Anybody who griped, do you understand what's going on? Do you have any context about what's happening? You're mad because you had to practice hard at this point? I understand it's not easy. This is professional sports, sir. I'll remind you that's not easy for anybody, even the teams that are, I don't know, good.
We'll ask our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman about this at 11:30. Next, in 5 minutes, Joel Corey, who's a contracts expert on just how much trouble the Redskins are in with the Alex Smith deal. in the next couple of seasons. Also, it is time to give you hint number three.
Oh, give it to me.
Two Redskins tickets to the game on Sunday against the New York Giants can be yours right now at 800-636-1067. If you know which Redskin I'm talking about. Danny, your third hint.
Mm-hmm.
This Redskin is an interior offensive lineman.
I know it.
This Redskin is an interior offensive lineman. You've won a pair of tickets to see your Skins take on the Giants Sunday at FedEx Field. Tickets still available through redskins.com/tickets, courtesy of the team. Details at thefandc.com/contests.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.